For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, everybody, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I am your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network, and it is Weekends with Swipe It Time. We have a fun episode planned for you today, as one of us is vibing. It's very clear who it is. I am joined by my guy, Swipa, on the other side. Swipa, you had some things you wanted to get off your chest at the beginning of this episode, so let it rip, my guy.
Hey, sometimes it just feels good to be right. That's how I feel about that. I hope everyone's having a fantastic weekend, fantastic Sunday, wherever you may be, however you may be in the world. We're so glad that you're here with us today, whether you're here in the United States of America, whether you're in Mexico, whether you in Canada, speaking French and whatever collection of languages that you have up there. I cannot wait to visit Canada. I actually spoke to someone in my family about visiting, so I would like to see some of you all, if that's possible, later this year. Possibly.
Don't forget our friends. Yeah, exactly. Don't forget.
I'm going to Serbia. I'm going to Serbia. This is known. You know, I'm not gonna lie to y'all, Serbia. I had to get my checks up. That's why the delay happened. I had to get my money up. My money's been coming up, so we will have these conversations to get up out there. Because I was trying to get a sponsor, but nobody in Serbia was showing me no love. Not y'all. But I was trying to get some businesses. So what's up? They be quoting me enough in these articles. I'm like, yo, what's up? Hey, fly your boy out there, man. Goodness gracious. Anyway, shout out to my people in Spain. Shout out to my people in Asia and Japan and Ireland. Make sure to mention that. Somebody said I didn't mention them before. Mongolia. Where's some Macedonia for sure. Definitely mention them. South America, there's a lot of people that have literally let me know where they're from. And so I'm trying to make sure I get all the main countries. If I forgot this time, I'll remember. But I have a special shout out. I got a very special DM from Jorge Perisic, if I said your name correctly, if I did. Looks like he is from Serbia or is Serbian. Yeah, he is from Serbia. And he and his dad are big fans of mine. And so I wanted to give both of them a shout out. His father's name is Milan, so I want to give a shout out to Milan and just say it means a lot to have your support. They have been loyal listeners to the Swipa platform for, it sounds like, a number of years now. And so having Jorge and then also having his dad Milan, it means a lot to me, and the fact that they have showed so much love and support, and that you even sent me a DM. And then if y'all can find me, Mile High Sports, Locked On, Player's Choice, Bleacher Report, the Swipa channel, wherever. And you see me anywhere, show me love, send me a DM, mostly on Twitter. I'll check Instagram from time to time. And then if you just, have something special that you want to, drop a message or whatever, just let me know. Or you got a special somebody that you want me to say something to. It might not be a parent. It could be a dear fan that is a different Nuggets fan that's like, Swipa, I need you to be my wingman. Let me know. If you're a lady out there, you need a wingman to tell somebody how you feel. Some man that has been ignoring you. I don't know if you ever seen the series One Day, y'all. That's on Netflix. But make sure y'all tap in and watch that. It is about a 20-year friendship. It's a book, and it turns into a show. A 20-year friendship that leads into just a very, very, very lovely, lovely situation. So I'm tapping in. Just let y'all know. If you need me, let me know. Just shout out to your boy. That's all I'm saying. Shout out to Milan.
What in the world was that?
Let the people know, man. I let the people know. I'm here for them.
Oh, my gosh. I'm joined by my boy. Obviously, we have connected over the course of these past few years. Swipa and I have been doing this show for a while, over a year now. And it's always fun to be able to chat with somebody, hang out with somebody. And we've connected a lot. So it's been good to just sort of have an ally and a resource within this Denver Nuggets sphere. All right, let's get into the basketball. Let's get into everything that's been going on for the Nuggets over the course of the past week or so. We talked about kind of how we wanted to frame this show. And rather than focus on the Utah Jazz game, which just happened last night, that was a laugher for three of the four quarters, the first, second, and fourth quarter. Denver won, I did the math, 118 to 77. They won that by 41 points. The problem was that they lost the other third quarter by 20, which happened to be their worst in
since the Warriors
of the season. It was the worst of the season, but it was just one quarter. I have decided that I'm just not gonna make a big deal out of it. It's not gonna be a big deal. But we're gonna talk about Boston. We want to talk about Boston a little bit. We talked about Denver versus Boston and just sort of our residual thoughts from how that went and how this week went. Denver had some interesting games that happened over the course of these past three, or at least two of the three were interesting. Just Swipe, I wanted you to lead us off. What are your main takeaways from the Boston game in this week?
Yeah, I think that around the NBA, the message that had been sent from the Boston media, from the Denver media, from the national media is this is a potential NBA Finals preview. And I was, dare I say, this is a hopeful NBA Finals preview. I think that there are most people that are in the national media that are not sold out for the Clippers. They are hoping that the Nuggets are making it out. Now, some might be say the Suns, you know, and all that other stuff, because KD and everything. They obviously have your Lakers remnants. They're like LeBron and Anthony Davis. They just need to get healthy with Gabe Vincent, and they can get it out. They can get there to get 18. Not going to happen.
Sure. Yeah.
But then you have a lot of people in the Eastern Conference. And again, if you're not from Philly, you're not from Milwaukee, and you're not like a Bucks fan with a Giannis agenda, or me, I actually think the Bucks have a chance too. I think the Miami Heat have a chance, but I'm not a national media member yet. I would say most national media members have conceded that they think that Boston is one of the best regular season teams of all time, especially in the modern era. The last team this good in a regular season would be the 17-18 Golden State Warriors that included Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. And shout out, absolutely. Yeah, 1,000%. Like I told y'all, y'all my people, man. Y'all my people. So anybody needs something, talk to your boy, let me know. International media, man. Hey, international man of mystery, some might say. Ha ha. So Swipe a Bond is the name that's been put out there. I didn't say it. Somebody else suggested it. But this is what I'll say. That game was anything and everything you could ask for as a basketball fan. I think, you know, if you're a Celtics fan, you want a better game from Tatum. You want a better game from Derek White. No problem. If you're a Nuggets fan, you want a better game from Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr. If you're a Nuggets fan, you're like, why do we only make four threes? If you're a Boston fan, why do we make less than 30% of our threes? So my thing is that there is quite simply something to Ryan. When you play that kind of high leverage game where everything is on the line, and this is for a regular season game, as much that can be on the line as possible, you know, outside of maybe fighting for the one seed at the end of the year with like the Timberwolves or something, like, you know, this game clamps it type deal.
Sure.
But I think for people that are, especially the fact, and this is for me, and I said this before the game, Ryan, that if the Nuggets winning in a blowout wouldn't mean much to me. The Celtics winning in a blowout wouldn't mean anything to me. Because the last game they had, it was in the clutch, and it came down to late game execution and who the best players were on the court and who can shot make and who can play D and who's going to miss the shots. And this game, it came down to the same thing. That, for me, Ryan, is more indicative of future success than anything. And the fact that you have the Nuggets, and not even Jamal Murray, it was Jokic and Aaron Gordon. Jamal Murray, who's one of the best closers in the league, wasn't on the second option to step up. It was Aaron Gordon. And I think Jokic, man. Yep. I think this, and again, this is what I love, Ryan Blackburn. I love this about narrative. Everybody said last year that there's nobody that can guard the Nuggets like the Celtics can. There's nobody that can guard Jokic like the Celtics can. So that's why Jokic averaged 30, 14, and 7 on 67% true shooting in the finals, because it was Bam Adebayo. What do you expect? But in the two games that Jokic has played them, he's averaging 33 points a game, 12 rebounds a game, and 10 assists, and he's shooting well over 60% from the field and 100% from the free throw line in those games and 50% from three. And he's won all of his minutes. And on the other side of this too, of the four opportunities in the two games the Nuggets have had without them in the non-Jokic minutes, the Nuggets have won those minutes three times. That's a big deal. And the fact is that, and again, there are adjustments for Joe Mazzulla to make, but one of the adjustments that he did make in the fourth quarter, Ryan, was when Jokic wasn't in there, with the 8-minute mark in the fourth quarter, he put Jrue Holiday, Derek White, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown in the game. Kristaps Porzingis. And he kept Sam Hauser in the game for most of that. So I think a lot of this is that the fact that the Nuggets forced them to like show that much of their hand this early on, I think it's really important. And I do, Ryan. The Nuggets won at home and they won in Boston. I do think at this point in time that the Nuggets have a little bit of a psychological edge at this point. They got the best player in the court. You can't do nothing about it. Kristoff, what you going to do about it? Nothing. Al Horford, what you going to do about it? Nothing. Xavier Tillman, what you going to do about it? Nothing. So I think
and that's that I think is the kicker right there, is that I thought that when Boston acquired Xavier Tillman, I thought it was for a Jokic series. I thought it was for the depth and somebody who had success against Jokic in the past, though it has to be said that Jokic had a perfect triple-double against Xavier Tillman earlier this year. Like that definitely happened. So I don't want to I tend to give teams the benefit of the doubt, like in their plan and how they go about things and what they're trying to do. And with Boston, I thought they had a really good trade deadline in trying to add different pieces that could potentially give Denver some issues. And then you see it play out and you see things actually happen and you see how Jokic just does not give an absolute flying F about whatever coverage they throw his way. And you start to realize, okay, there's not really much that the Celtics can do with Denver when the time comes. I think that Jamal Murray will be better, like on the ball when the time comes, just being more precise. I thought he got a little bit amped in that game and like he had played really well through the first 3.5 quarters, I want to say, and then just kind of collapsed a little bit when there was a little bit of extra ball pressure applied. But look, he'll be better. And I just trust it after seeing it for 8 years that Denver in these situations is going to rise to the occasion. And we've seen this over and over and over again from them. And the larger point that most people hit on, and that was exactly what you said at the beginning, is that the way that Denver handles their business in the clutch and the way that they focus and get like they get the best shots possible. That was the main takeaway from the differences between Denver and Boston in clutch time, is that Boston, they don't get the best shots. They get shots. They get threes. That's how they're going to do it. They needed 2 Jrue Holiday step back threes in order to get back into that game late. So look, if that's what you're going to get, and if you're going to make that, then great. But I think Denver and most other teams, even in the Eastern Conference, are going to make the bet that Boston is not going to hit those in 4 out of 7 games in a series.
Well, I think on top of that, maybe one of the other tertiary points to this, Ryan, is that the shot making is going to improve for both teams. They're both going to have games where they're hitting their three-pointers. But I think a lot of people just misunderstand game flow. Both teams were missing threes, and it was because the game was so contested and tight. Now, even the open threes, the Nuggets had more open threes they missed in this game per synergy, I believe, than the Boston Celtics did. And even on on open jump shots, I think the Nuggets, they had more open jump shots available. They scored 6 points on open jump shots as opposed to, I think it was 15 or 10 from Boston. So if you put all that stuff together, man, like the Nuggets underperform shooting variance more than Boston did. The problem is the Nuggets just have access to something Boston doesn't. The Nuggets can dominate you on the inside, and they also can consistently create pressure at the mid-range level and at the rim on a consistent basis. And they might not convert a lot at the rim all the time, but their mid-range game is like second to none. I think they're 3rd in the NBA mid-range efficiency this year. That's because they have 2 of the best mid-range shooters in the league. Well, honestly, let me take that back. 3. Michael Porter Jr. is shooting over 50% from mid-range this year. So
he's been great. Yeah,
it's just he's been one of the best. And then Jokic volume, Murray volume, and then even KCP. So the issue is, it's like they're running DHO actions to get into these spots, and they know they can convert at a really high level. But then again, once you what I love about the Nuggets, man, is like, they have been playing playoff-level offense the entire year. The reason their offense is the number one in the league, because they're not trying to have an elite regular season offense. If they wanted to push for that, all they do is they would increase their pace. Their fast break points would have been out the wazoo to start the year off, but they don't do that, and they would have got more threes up. They have their 29th in the NBA, I think, in three-point attempts. And they're in the top half in efficiency. But the issue is that they don't play a style that leads to that. But if you get in a playoff setting with them and they're fully locked in, the difference is you're playing playoff basketball now. They've been playing playoff basketball since October. Because for them, it's just about getting in really, really, really good habits. And I think they're probably going to set a trend too, Ryan. I think a lot of people are like, oh, Boston, you know, top 1 offense, top 2 defense. Well, the Nuggets, cool. We're going to hover right around 8-9 for both of these spots. But then by the time the playoff come around, we're going to clamp, and our offense is going to be even better just because we were so used to doing this, Ryan. So I am really impressed with this. I think Aaron Gordon, KCP, Peyton Watson, Michael Porter, Jamal Murray to his credit, and Christian Brown, their defense on even Jaylen Brown, who had a really good game. But last game, he was 6-19. Jaylen Brown had a really good game. really good game, 41-14, one of the best games of his career in a regular season.
Yeah.
But again, if you're telling me that he's going to do that consistently, then whatever. But I think that's the thing. It's like, okay, Tatum scores 14 or 15. Jaylen scores 41. That's 56 points between the duo. That's about what you would expect. So it's not like the duo, their numbers weren't there. Their numbers were there. But I'm saying, I think the difference is the Nuggets, they're going to try to make you load up on one player, because the Nuggets, they know the less you spread the ball around, then the more ISO heavy you get, which means everybody else cools down. And for you all, like, if you want to get the ball popping, you start getting everybody hitting threes, then that's when everybody has their confidence. Because you saw in the first half, in the first game versus the Celtics, that's what was going on. Everybody was shooting the ball. Kristoff was shooting the ball really well. Derek, Drew. But I think in this situation, bro, I think the Nuggets have an opportunity where they've shown they can shut the water off on Tatum. He's shooting below 40% from the field and on 18 points a game versus the Nuggets. And I don't think that's by accident. That's completely by design. They put KCP on him to hound him as much as possible in the POA. You can't just run by him. And then you saw Jamal. He held up in the post on multiple possessions and caused
his great defensively turnovers. That game. That was great.
Let me ask you this.
The
bench unit won their minutes. What do you feel like the bench was able to do in order to win their minutes as significant as it did? I think Peyton was like a +9 or something like that, and I think Christian was a +7.
So that kind of leads into this week. Like, they've been good all week. The bench has been good all week, including in Denver's loss against Phoenix and including against Utah, where, like, it was really the starters that kind of let go of the rope in the third quarter, not really the bench. But against Boston specifically, Peyton Watson deserves so much credit for the way that he impacts the game. I do want to give Michael Malone credit for changing up his rotation, where Justin Holiday is now coming in and staggering with Jamal Murray instead of Reggie Jackson. And I think that we're going to probably see more of that. We're going to see that kind of trend higher and higher. Michael Malone continues to say Justin Holiday deserves to play. He's earned the right. He's like, the way that he spaces the floor for Denver in those bench units really does help. And I think that unless Reggie kind of shoots a little bit better, unless he's more comfortable heading into the playoffs, which I don't really expect, it just wouldn't surprise me if Denver kind of goes with this lineup. You were sharing these numbers with me earlier before we started about the Jamal, Justin Holiday, Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, Zeke Nagy lineup, who, by the way, Zeke Nagy deserves a lot of credit too for turning around his season. That's a kind of a subplot for this bench. They've gotten a little bit more stability with him, despite the fact that he still struggles to catch the ball every now and then. But it's been great. It has been great to watch this bench. They have become an asset for Denver as opposed to a liability, and the way that they defend has been really impressive to see.
Yeah, and I think people are kind of sleeping on, like, I think people are going to say, like, you know, Murray's off on number for Jokic and this and that. But I'm like, look, man, I think Murray's just been stabilizing. And I said this to you already. I think Murray has been stabilizing that unit. They have just been a lot better. And again, Zeke Nagy might not get a lot of tick, which is fine. You know, maybe DJ plays more inside of that game versus, or the series versus the Timberwolves, because if Kat's back at least. But you put Aaron Gordon in that lineup next to Justin Holiday, next to, and I'm sorry. They had a conversation. I think it was Tim Bontemps and Brian Windhorst and Tom McMahon, and they were talking about the backup minutes, and they mentioned that, you know, somebody mentioned Justin Holiday's getting time, and somebody said to him in response, I'm willing to bet you however much that Justin Holiday's not seen minutes in the playoffs. I'm like,
we sure?
I don't know where you've been. Justin Holiday has been dynamite as a shooter this year. He's been a good defender. Like, he's not one of the five best on the team, but that's fine. Like, he's better defender than Reggie Jackson is. And honestly, he's just a more dependable shooter scorer because he's not dominating the ball. And I think next to Jamal Murray, that's all he needs. He doesn't need you to, like, and you saw Jamal Murray yesterday was cooking versus Chris Dunn.
Cooking.
He even cooked in the first stint versus the Boston Celtics when they had Derek White, Jaylen Brown, and Xavier Tillman in the game. And he took all three of them, three straight possessions to the bucket or to the mid-range. So that's the thing. Like, Jamal can have to shoulder an all-star, all-NBA level load when it comes to the playoff front. But that's fine. He's shown he can do that. I just think that if you're telling me you're getting Jamal Murray, Justin Holiday, Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, and Aaron Gordon in a playoff run, dude, like, that's going to be one of the better bench combinations in the NBA, just because you're going to have floor spacing, defenders, and shooters. And the weakest defender on that unit, maybe Jamal, might be Justin, but they're both going to be at least average. So I think they're going to do some real damage come playoff time.
So you want to hear something crazy? Jamal Murray's numbers post All-Star break are this. They include a game where he had 6 points and 3 assists when he went out early against Miami. His numbers are 23.9 points, 6.9 assists, 53.9% from the field, 48.8% from three, 86% from the line. He is locked in. Like, this version of Jamal Murray is better than early season Jamal Murray, which is better than mid-season Jamal Murray. He continues to ramp up and is playing the best basketball of his season right now. And he showed it on both ends of the floor. Had a little bit of a bad stint at the end of the Boston game, but who cares? And you need this version of him to lead the bench. He talked about how he's trying to set up Peyton Watson and Christian Brown. Justin Holiday, it's really easy to set up. And then he's had a couple of nice pick and rolls with Zeke Nnaji as well. When Nnaji rolls and Murray's actually looking for him kind of in that pocket, like there was one where he had against Boston that Nnaji actually finished around the defense and did a really nice job. He looked pretty athletic.
It was that a short roll, and he just did like a nice little left-hand lay. It was nice.
It looked good. And like that's Jamal putting a lot of pressure on the defense, forcing them to rotate over and then setting his guy up on the roll for an easy, not easy, but a layup opportunity around the rim, and Nnaji got it. And it looked very good. So,
you know, he's also somebody, Snow Wolf mentions in here.
Yeah.
Jamal has become a sneaky, really good alley-oop forward. Aaron Gordon, Peyton Watson, even to Michael this year. I mean, he threw in KCP last year, I think, versus Indiana. Hasn't got a lot of those opportunities yet. But Jamal, like, if he has an athlete, like, he's at trying. The bottom of that baseline, dude, he's finding you.
And he was doing it with DeAndre Jordan, too. Like, that was one thing that towards the end of the
Laker one, like, remember, when he threw, like, a beeline to the rim. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Like, it's impressive to watch. He is becoming a much better passer, a much better playmaker. And like that was one of our takeaways at the beginning of the year. I think he fell off a little bit as a playmaker in the middle of the season, but he's back to it now, which is really, really good to see. Denver needs that if he's going to be a lead ball handler for the bench. That's just how it's got to be, because he's going to get blitzed a lot. He's got to find the open man. That's the exact requirement.
Bro, his ability to now to be able to dictate pace and terms with the bench unit, I think that's the thing that I'm most paying attention to. Because Jamal Murray, back in the day when he was younger, he just didn't know how to use the floor as well. So he would get caught like in the corners or get caught at the top of the key, and then he would be in a really difficult position for a pass. But he does it every so often, but it's not nearly what it is. But now when Jamal Murray's getting blitzed, he's doing a good job of dragging the defense to the baseline. And then once he drags you to the baseline, he did this in the NBA playoffs last year. He did this versus the Heat. I don't know if you remember, this was like game 3 or 4. He drove Jimmy, and it might have been Bam. I can't remember who it was. It might have been Kevin Love. And he drove them left to the baseline. He did that little dump off to Aaron Gordon for the dunk.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember the play. He's gotten really good at doing that, and now he's finding three-point shooters. He's finding cutters. And even yesterday, bro, he had that crazy play with Chris Dunn, which I put out the tweet that he's one of the best shot makers, I think, high-leverage shot makers in NBA history probably at this point. Especially
step back, one-legged fall away from 22 feet.
Right. Like, he literally went from under the rim, hedgy-tween-tween-tween, dribble-dribble, ha, step back contested, and then it was still nothing but butto. Barely even touched the net. I think Jamal Murray has just taken a significant leap. I think he's ramping up mentally and physically leading into this playoffs, and I think he is probably I would say this to you, and this sounds crazy. I think people are significantly underestimating the idea in reality, Ryan, that Jamal Murray could be better this playoff than he's ever been. And I think that for people that freaks them out. But for me, it's like Jamal's 26 now. He's not even at his ceiling yet. Like his ceiling, you start to get at your peak.
He turned 27. Like he's
27. He's 27. So I'm saying like he's getting into his ceiling, into his peak. But Jokic is 29 now. He's getting better. I think Jamal is ascending. And I think the thing is, Jamal has, this is what I'm telling people, man. Remember, Jamal after that bubble run, he had 48 games and then he stopped playing. But that 48 game sample size, I remember the last 25 games of it, he was averaging 24 and a half, 5 and 5. He was shooting like 50, 47, and 90 And I remember I was tracking that. Remember that there was that Ben Simmons game where there was no Embiid, but he was versus the 76ers. He was mixing Matisse Thybulle and Ben Simmons.
Oh, my God.
I just think that's what's happening. It's like Jamal, because he's playing so many games, and you saw versus Utah, it was closing the quarter. I will talk about that a little bit later. I think a lot of this, man, he is just like he's in a rhythm, and his three-point shot looks obscene right now. And he's shooting like almost 42% from three.
Oh, yeah. I mean, over the last eight games, he's at 48.8% from three. And like you said, he's reaching another rhythm of his game. He has been a consistent playmaker. I mean, listen to these assist totals over the last four games. 11, 9, 8, 7. Like, this is while Joker is doing what Joker's doing. I don't even know if Joker's had, like, he had 8 this last game, but I think he's been over 10 in, like, pretty much every game outside of that. So it's been great. It's been great to see. Denver's got their guys. Jamal will show up when he needs to show up. Aaron's been playing great. Mike's been playing. He's had some really, really great moments, mostly last week, but over the course of this week, like in this last game against Utah, he was great too. Like, I know that there was a little bit of confusion on what actually happened with Denver's defense and what happened with the third quarter in this last game. But I don't know, like it's a detail thing. And the larger picture for Denver is that they are 8-1 post All-Star break and have been great. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that they are ready for the playoffs. It's just about how much you really care to be the one seed, which is why I think the quarters like last night are at least a little concerning if you want, like, because you're going to drop a game or two that you're not supposed to.
Well, I think the thing is yesterday that I would say in response is they were up 34 points. It was bound that they would have at least a 6-minute stretch that wasn't like amazing. And it just happened. But again, I also want to be clear, it wasn't like their defense was bad the rest of the quarter, because again, they got that timeout. I'm sorry, sir. Keontae George, Baylor grad, by the way, started cooking and making contested three-pointers.
He was making contested threes. Denver got a couple and ones that against them. Right. That
Jordan
out
Clarkson
there.
Was getting into the lane and doing that little thing he does where he's like, all right, am I going to pass? I'm going to pass, quick up, getting those little floaters over the top. Colin Sexton was in transition. Like, but that's what they do. Like, they have really fast, really good guards, and they were scoring at a high level in that quarter. And to your point, Jokic, by the way, since the All-Star break, he's averaging 25.8, 13.2, 10.4.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's shooting out the wazoo right now as well. So
12 of 14 last night as well. Like, the dude is locked in. There's no question in my mind. Like, he did not want to come back into the game, though, in the fourth quarter, and who could blame him?
Right. I love when he takes his back brace off. Like, all right, let me go close this quarter.
It's so true. Here's what I'll say about last night. And I got into a little bit of trouble with people on how I sort of reacted.
You didn't get into trouble.
It's just like, I know that people are tired of, like, they think it's a shtick. It's really not like a shtick. It's just how I feel on how Denver should be comporting themselves. And I think that they did a great job through the first two quarters. Like, the first half, they were fantastic. And the fourth quarter, they were fantastic again. Like, that is clearly good enough to win most every game. I just think that if Denver has the goal of being the one seed, if that's what they want to do, which they've said so, then they're going to get caught. They're going to get caught one of these times. Maybe they need a reminder that it can't be this simple, that it can't be this easy.
They already already had that, though. It was versus the Suns. They did that because they got down 22 points. So that was a real letdown. That was an actual one. Yesterday, bro, they're playing the Jazz. They're up 34 points. That Suns game, they got down 20 points. And if they didn't get down 20 points, they would have won the game. So that's the game that everybody should have been like, what's up? Y'all thought Devin Booker wasn't going to be here? It was going to be food? What's up?
Yeah, it's Denver in those situations, they like to figure out exactly what the threshold is for how far they can come back.
Exactly.
And they found it out. It was 22 points. And so they won't do that again unless they don't really care about the game. And that's kind of what I'm thinking, is that over these last 18 games, I think that they're going to have to guard against being bored, because I don't think that they're going to really care about the one seed when it's all said and done. They might say that they care. They might
want it. It's been pretty loud lately, though.
They might want it. Yeah, of course.
Nikola Jokic talked about it. Like, Malone talked about it. I mean, this is a lot of smoke coming out, bro.
Yeah. And to be fair, like, that's fine. I get it. I want to see how they respond on the road trip. And I wonder if they get caught against Toronto on Monday. That would not surprise me if it happened, is what I'm saying. Now, will it happen? Probably not, because Denver's way freaking better than Toronto.
They're at home, and we had a discussion beforehand. I don't think Scotty and them is playing. Who are they going to get caught by? Dick Grady? Like, they have been bad, bro. And Jakob Poeltl is not there. Like, they're probably going to be worse than the Jazz were.
Yeah.
You know, they're missing their Lauri Markkanen.
I'm just more thinking that it will not be surprising to me if Denver, as good as they have been, and I want to make this clear, I have been like on this for sure. Denver has been great this season against under 500 teams. It's been one of my, like, one of the things that I want to make sure to give them credit on. They're 21-4 against sub 500 teams. The only four losses that they had, I told this to you in the parking lot last night, was against Utah the first time that they played Utah, and then against Houston three times when Houston was actually playing good basketball. So like they have not been caught otherwise. And so I want to give them credit for that. They've been great. And it's just about following through. It's just about getting through the finish line. And that's all. That's
what
all
did we
that
do
this
after
is.
The game last night, Ryan Blackburn, with as little amount of details as possible.
We got some pizza. We got some drinks. Mm-hmm. And it was great.
That's a little birthday celebration.
That good
balloons
little
and ice cream and everything.
God. On that note, let's take a break, everybody. When we come back, we're gonna chat about what Denver needs to do to get the one seed, and then we'll talk about this upcoming week. But first, everybody, this podcast is, it's brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports, who are changing the game, and you could win some money this season with Superbook, the most trusted name in sports gambling, with a direct line to Las Vegas. And now you can use the promo code MILEHIGH, and you'll score up to $250 with their first bet bonus. Win or lose, Superbook will match your first bet up to $250 with promo code MILEHIGH. Down the Superbook Sports app, enter the promo code, and you'll get $250, courtesy of Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll be right back on Weekends with Swipe Up.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning into the show. Thank you for being so kind. Thank you for hopping into the chat. Everybody, if you can, it'd be awesome if you could leave a like and subscribe to the channel. That would be super dope. Joined by my guy, Swipe It here. Swipe It, you are making things problematic for me. It was not Ryan's B-Day. I read that and thought you said baby, which is why I put it up on the screen. No, there are no baby, no babies. That's not happening. But, no, we're just vibing out, having a good time. Thunder talk is in here. We've got a Thunder fan in here, Swipe, but we can talk about the one seed.
Brody. What's up, Brody? Yeah, man. I got an MVP candidate on the team that very well could win.
Let's pivot there. SGA has been so good. SGA has been so good this season, man. And if the Thunder get the one seed, I think that he will probably win the MVP.
No.
That's a crazy... now, that's the thing, man. It's like, this is an award. It's a narrative thing. And SGA has been so good. Like, have you seen his numbers in the clutch, man? Like, they've been so good.
He's incredible. He's been the most efficient clutch player in the league. And I think Jokic is second. LeBron is third. He's incredible among players with volume. Could have that Tatum thing from going out watching. And I told Matt Moore this. I think SGA, if this was another year and SGA had a playoff series behind him, I think he would win. I can almost tell you with 90% certainty he will not win, because he has zero playoff series on his ledger, and that he would be the first MVP since, I remember I tracked this, because in the last 20, since 2000, there's no MVP that has not won a series prior to winning an MVP. And then before that, you had Malone, one over Michael Jordan, because he got better record than
some,
the
season. Some guy named stupid. MJ.
Yeah, so dumb. And then you had Hakeem, and then you had Charles, and then remember Charles, they were like blowing people out of the water. He already had like a pretty extensive career since 84 from him. And then you had Jordan. But even Jordan, when he won, Jordan had already taken down Cleveland by that point. So that's what I think. That's what I think, like, people are just not really – I think he's going to finish second. But, bro, I'm sorry. Giannis has been incredible too. Giannis and SGA are going to take votes from each other because people are going to say, well, I can't give him votes over Giannis because Giannis is averaging 30, 10, and 5 on 60% shooting, and they're also the second seed in the East. Some people are like, well, I'm not voting for Giannis because the Adrian Griffin whole situation, and they also went under for a promotion of the year. And so they're going to split them both. But I just think at this point, bro, and I firmly believe that after that Boston game, and I think the national consensus, plus all the stuff that happened last year, I'm willing to bet Ryan Blackburn a solid $100, which – and media is a lot of money. A lot of, I'm betting him, about $100 that Nikola Jokic is going to win the MVP just because, yeah, he's having six assists now. I think he's going to win the MVP just because outright, I think the best player in the world thing is really important. And I just think like the Nuggets are going to keep fighting at the top of the conference. And we've already saw this. Like Giannis was the one seed last year, didn't win. Yeah. Jokic was the one seed last year, didn't win. They went to a third seed and beat. So, yeah, I think that I do. I'm pretty strongly like, leaned into it at this point, 18 games left. I think it's going to be Jokic. I think it's like, Tony Jones from Utah was like, who didn't even used to be a Jokic guy. I was like, yeah, man, just go ahead and mail it to Sombor. Like, it's, I just, you know, at this point, it's just like, I love SGA. And by the way, I wanted the Nuggets to trade for this man when he was just some young player for the Clippers and for OKC. And I was like, somebody please throw the balloon at this man. But, you know, OKC.
I was hoping they'd draft him. Like, it was fortunate for Denver that they ended up with MPJ, to be clear. But, like, if SGA had dropped to 14, then that would have been a coup for Denver. And you know that Tim Connelly would have drafted SGA. Like, that's the exact kind of guy, freshman out of Kentucky. Like, he would have drafted SGA at that point. So, it'd be good to see.
We should have the Kentucky trio. We should have Murray, Monk from last offseason, two off seasons ago, and we should have SGA on the roster.
Yo, Malik Monk on this team would be
off the bench.
He'd be so good. So can you imagine Malik Monk and Jamal Murray staggering? And
yeah, then you have Christian Brown, Jokic, Peyton Watson. Jokic wouldn't have to come into the game in the fourth quarter in multiple playoff series.
Damn, that would be sick.
Malik is, I'm telling you, man, I fully believe my heart of heart, man. The Lakers thing helped him a lot. I think people saw him in Charlotte, bro, and were like, oh, he's not that good. He went to the Lakers, turned him off. Well, it's the Lakers tax or whatever. Bro, they paid him like, what, $8 million? Six and a half?
He was like their, basically their MLE guy. Like he was supposed to be like a guy for them.
Bro, he is a monster, dude. He's not a bad defender. He gives good effort. He's a good playmaker out of the pick and roll. Good shooter. Gets to the rim. Deadly rim runner. Like
he should be the sixth man of the year, I think. Like that's probably what should happen.
He should. And by the way, Tyrese Maxey should not be nobody's most improved player. That's not how most improved player works. It's obviously Kobe White. To me, it's obviously Kobe White this year.
Whew, that's a good
single
one.
Single digits. Digits last year.
Next week we should do an awards show of like what we would pick heading into the final month of the season. Basically, let's write that down. Everybody in the comments, write that down and tell us next week when we're trying to come up with ideas. Okay, I do for the record think that Jokic will win the MVP. Like I think that Denver is going to get the one seed. I think that that's going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't. I wouldn't be surprised if OKC with the way that they've played for sure. Like, they could absolutely get it. But I wanted to pull up this over the course of the next few weeks here. I went on to Tankathon. I went to the remaining strength of schedule tab on Tankathon. Denver's got the seventh easiest remaining strength of schedule after this stretch that they had. They basically went through narrative week. They went through all their tough stuff. Even after playing Utah, their remaining strength of schedule is really low. They've got some tough opponents, to be clear. They've got Minnesota three times. They've got the Clippers. They've got the Cavs again. They've got the Knicks again. But they've got also some very easy games as well if they take it seriously. If they've got the San Antonio Spurs three times, they've got the Blazers again, they've got the Memphis Grizzlies twice. There's no doubt that they can win some of these matchups, and I think it's going to be fascinating to see how they handle it. By the way, in comparison, OKC is 16th in their remaining strength of schedule. Denver's got the 7th easiest. OKC's got the 16th easiest, and then Minnesota's got the 18th easiest. So, like, in other words, the 13th hardest. So it just wouldn't surprise me if those teams get an extra loss here or there that maybe Denver doesn't get, just because you're playing some tougher competition.
Well, Minnesota, they got like 6 back to backs or something remaining.
Yeah,
because of their easy like opening, what, 3 months of the year. Or something?
Yeah, they had like 2 or 3 back to backs through the first half of the season, basically. If I go to positive residual and we check their calendar, I just want to make sure that I've got this right for you. Yeah, they've got a tough schedule. They have a very tough schedule remaining, and they're going to have to do it without Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, that's a you see Jamal Murray dropping a Michael Jordan meme on Twitter just now.
No, what did he say? This is just like
it's an MJ tweet where MJ's looking around at the crowd shaking his head. Oh. And I know exactly what he's responding to. And there's a particular person that said something yesterday. It was pretty, you know, I'm not going to bring up names, but it was pretty inflammatory, who did apologize for it. But they all see that stuff.
Bro,
So
I think they're going to win a title.
They have a four game week, I think, coming up.
They certainly do. They've got a 4-game week. They are actually no. Let's wrap up on the one seed thing. Like, if you had to predict it right now, what's the order for the Western Conference top four?
That's tough, man. OKC wants to win every game, and
yeah.
They probably need home court advantage more than anybody. I think they're going to have a really, really tough out in the first round and then the second round too. So they might mess around and get like Lakers Suns or like Lakers Clippers or something like that. And I think that's just like for a team that's never been there, that's really tough. It doesn't mean it can't win. I think they're going to
like
get the
Memphis
one
last year. If I'm being honest, like although Memphis was injured at that point, like it was a little bit different, but
right. But Chet, bro, Chet is going to have a world of a time. Think about it. Yeah. He had to deal with Anthony Davis and Nurkic in back-to-back series, like or Zubac, for that matter. You know, so yeah. I just think I think they're going to be 1. I think the Nuggets finished 2. I think the Timberwolves finished 3. And then first team All-NBA is going to be SGA, Luka, Giannis, Tatum, Jokic. And,
Tatum definitely, like, he'll – obviously,
but if you look at the numbers, LeBron James having a better season than Jason Tatum, but you won't hear it on the national level or in the places that matter.
Yeah, LeBron will get a second team All NBA, and
LeBron
like honestly,
has been incredible. Look up his numbers on Stathead. He literally has been like arguably the best, second best power or small forward in the league this year behind either depending on your feel about KD, honestly.
Yeah, I mean. I like KD. I think he's been great. And he's absolutely done a lot over the course of these last few games without Devin Booker as well. Like last night against Boston, like he tried. He did his darndest to
42
get
points
them over the top there. Yeah, he was great. Like
yeah, KD's been incredible, man. Like when his shots are going down, he's hard to deal with.
Yeah. Are you worried about the Suns at all? Like given that Denver like just lost to them. Without Booker, like, are you worried about what they do? Because I one of the things I want to add, Royce O'Neal's been really good for them. He's been really, really helpful in terms of both as a defender and as a connector on the offensive end.
Really good player that you should have had for cheap.
Yeah, Nurkic is playing really well too. So
defense has been good.
Eric Gordon is a good player for them off the bench. Not really sure who else I'd really trust off of their bench, but I don't think I trust Bradley Beal. And I don't think that's really a hot take at all.
Or Booker down the stretch of a series either versus a healthy team.
Yeah, that's funny.
No, it's true.
Yeah, I mean, I injuries have definitely hindered him in that process. But like,
yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you play against an elite team that has a lot of POA defenders. You put a lot of pressure on you. Jamal Murray was nicked up in the playoffs last year too. That's what happens. You know, like you go on a run, you're going to get hurt a little bit.
So, I think that Nurkic, when he doesn't foul out, he is a good one-on-one defender against Joker. Doesn't really get moved. He's a very strong player. But I also think that Joker probably wasn't taking that one as seriously from a scoring perspective as he needed to. And he will do that in the playoffs. Like Jokic will cook him in the playoffs, I think.
I think the Suns are still liable to get six games. I just think that the Nuggets did not walk into that game with the intensity of the Boston game. If they met Boston level intensity Nuggets, they would have lost that game by 15 to 20 points just because they just wouldn't have been able to compete with that, and especially without Booker. And I think a lot of this too is like Jokic just he looked like he was in pass first mode that game. He's kind of playing around with the Nurkic thing. He was also missing some of those bunnies and stuff around the rim. Now again, they did cramp the paint, but the problem is like the Nuggets don't play the same way the entire game in the playoff run. So I think that Jokic would absolutely like flame boil charcoal the Suns in that series again. And I think the movement would be incredibly difficult. And again, the fast break points would probably be Denver again. Because the Denver Nuggets got all the athletes. And again, Grayson Allen started the game 8-8 from three.
That's so true. That's another what kept layer. Them in the game.
You know, like
yeah.
So that's
Credit to Grayson Allen though, and credit to like they're gonna need their role players to step up in the playoffs. That's kind of how it is. It's like they're gonna get production from Booker and KD. Yep. Like that's gonna be it. But what won them game four?
And we ain't in never that seen series. Bill do nothing past the first round ever. Like ever. Yeah. Ever.
What won them the game four against Denver last year was Landry Shamet going off. It wasn't four, like four Booker three, was great. Quarter. He was tremendous. KD was great in that game. But it was Landry Shamet. It was Denver kind of having to overcompensate. So if they have role players that are going to hit shots in the playoffs, it's a little bit of a different equation versus last year where like they had to either choose, hey, we're going to either score or we're going to defend. We can't do both. And Denver can do both. So that's like I don't think I'm worried about the Suns, but like I can respect them a little bit more this year than I did last year.
Well, here's what I'll say. The Nuggets defense is going to be better than it was in the playoffs last year. That it's just that simple. Like it's going to be better than it was because Peyton Watson changes the dynamic of that roster and that team.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of this is that the Nuggets defensive ceiling, they finished second in the playoffs last year, I believe, if I remember correctly, a defensive rating. And that's not, it's a little unfair to the Timberwolves and to the Lakers because they had to play Denver. So that's why they finished second. But I think that also speaks to the Nuggets. Like they're just that good. They're probably going to finish even better, if not slightly better than they were last year defensively. So I think a lot of this is like, dude, like when they put their length out there, they're so difficult to deal with. And I think the Suns are going to have a lot of problems as the series goes on, scoring consistently versus the Nuggets. And especially, you know, Jokic, man, that the level of effort he put in the Boston game at the level, remember when they were kind of shading Jason Tatum away from the basket, all those pick and roll opportunities and like pushing him away, like, dude, like, when Jokic is fully locked in, like the Nuggets don't really have a solve. And if they pre-rotate for some of these shooters like a Chet Holmgren or KP and all that stuff, like they take away a lot of your great options. They don't let you get to the rim at a really high level. I think in true teller, I want to say this to you right now, my brother, or person, you know, I believe you're a male. I've interacted with you for quite some time now. Peyton Watson is going to see 20 to 30 minutes in the playoffs. I can guarantee you that because he's going to be their sixth best player right now. And he's more dependable than Christian Brown. And on the other end of this, they have to play him because you got to have somebody playing behind Aaron Gordon. So Peyton Watson is going to see a lot of minutes. And I think the thing is, I asked Ryan about this earlier. I was trying to track it for y'all. I think I want to say, based on the stuff I have done, I think Peyton Watson's shooting from mid-range since December 1st, like around like 46 or 47%.
Good number.
Which it's perfectly fine for a player that's coming off the bench like that. And then on top of that, guess what? On a per 36 basis, he has one of the highest foul rates on the Denver Nuggets as well because he gets to the rim and transition constantly. So I think the fact that you're going to have – and I think that he's the best – I mean, you could say AG and KCP because of their roles, but, I mean, Peyton Watson, per the numbers, is the best defender on the Nuggets. And he's certainly the best rim protector that they have. So that's going to really matter versus Shea, versus LeBron, versus Durant and Booker versus, you know, Luka versus De'Aaron Fox versus Steph Curry versus Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Jimmy Butler. Like, that's who the person is that you're going to want on the court. Right.
You need a guy. You need a guy who can take on that assignment, who can do it so that other stars don't have to. And that's his role. That's his role, is to absorb some of the tough stuff. Do the, like, this is actually something that Peyton Watson was talking about, I think, with DMVR or whoever, about like what Jokic was telling him. It's like, you got to do the tough things that other people don't want to do in order to be an impactful player this year. And he has done that. He's done that on the defensive end. He's been in the dunker spot. He's kind of just doing all the tough things within Denver's rotation, and that's sort of, that definitely helps.
True tone. Did you watch the playoffs last year, my brother? Mid-range is more important in the playoffs, especially when come closing minutes, because you got to execute in between levels when you don't get the three-pointer. So that's why.
Yeah, I will say that there are going to be times where teams are going to dare him. They just are. And that's going to happen to Christian Brown. It's going to happen to Peyton Watson. It's going to happen. Yeah. It's going to happen to Reggie Jackson. Like, it's going to happen to all, like, Justin Holiday. It's going to happen to all the bench guys. And it's going to be on those guys.
Is Justin Holiday going to be the Duncan Robinson of the Denver Nuggets this year? Like, 100% true shooting in the first round?
That'd be sick. That'd be a great way to go 4-0 or 4-1 in a series. Just like, yeah. They had an answer.
Wait a minute. We stopped the starters. Here comes Justin Holiday for 4-4-3.
They had an answer for Joker. They had an answer for Jamal, but Justin Holiday, they just didn't have quite enough. So that's look.
Can you imagine the fan bases when Justin Holiday is 3-for-3 in the fourth quarter and they're just like, dude, what in the world? He shot 31% from three last year. How is he doing this?
That will happen in at least one game. I don't know which game it will happen in, but it'll happen in at least one game, and it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. Let's wrap up with this upcoming week. Denver is playing one home game, and then they're going on the road. They don't have any back-to-backs until into the middle of April, basically.
Oh my gosh, they play the Jazz and Timberwolves back-to-back. That's terrible.
Yeah, it's not great. And I think it's a road back to back as well.
It's a road at Jazz, home at Timberwolves.
Oh, okay. Home versus Timberwolves.
Home versus Timberwolves, yeah.
Okay. Well,
sit Joker in for that Jazz game. I'm just saying that right now.
Yeah, fortunately, like, and Denver, if they can't win that Jazz game without Joker, then like that would be tough. That would be a tough one. But look, I think just go through the schedule here. You have it pulled up on the for the away trip.
This swipe, I have the information pulled up. He thinks he's the only guy with charts. Yeah, so we got the Raptors on Monday, the Heat on Wednesday, national televised game, the Spurs on Friday, the Mavericks on Sunday. Those are the next four games for the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets are playing all but one of those games on the road, and no back-to-backs and a day of rest in between all of those games.
It's going to be interesting. So Toronto, they should win. It just wouldn't surprise me based off of how this last game went and how the Boston game went. The last game was a very great performance in three of the four quarters, and then you let off the gas in the other one. It just wouldn't surprise me if Denver gets caught because they don't necessarily care enough for that specific one.
Yeah, no, Ryan. I think you're doing too much. I think that game is going to be perfectly fine. The Spurs game, on the other hand, with those young monstars, if Victor Wembanyama plays and Devin Vassell plays, that's the actual game.
Okay.
Have you seen
at Miami, at Dallas? Those games will be tough too. Like they're you're on the road against teams that you've beaten. Miami will be wanting to get some revenge, whether they can or not remains to be seen.
They've been cooking. They've been one of the better teams for the last month and a half.
Yeah. And Dallas, I think, like with the way they should have lost to Dallas,
bro. Oh my gosh, if Bam Adebayo can finish a layup, missed two layups in that game.
Man, that's the secret to stopping Miami is to make Bam take all the shots. Like honestly,
and I love Bam. I would love Bam in Denver. I just can't. I couldn't believe that, Brian. I could not believe it. It would.
But you'd love him playing the dunker. That's the thing. It's like you'd love him playing the dunker and not doing what he's doing right now.
Do you think Bam, if he was a four, he could be like a Jaren Jack, like a better version of Jaren, but do you think he could shoot threes if need be?
I
feel like his form is solid.
I mean, no, I I don't think that he would do it on a consistent basis. I think teams would dare him, and he'd hit 32% of them.
I feel like he could take a like a not a Brook Lopez volume, but a Brook Lopez leap as a shooter. Like his it's not that, like his form is, it should be 35%. You know, it really shouldn't be like where he's just not a floor spacer at all. It really doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, look, I fortunately we don't have to think about it because he's gonna be stuck in Miami for like he's gonna be tethered to Miami for the next 10 years, basically. Like they're gonna want to build around him consistently. Unless they trade him for Joel Embiid in the offseason.
Yeah, I would never do that if I was Miami.
That might be the thing. So
how do you feel like the Mavericks game will go? Their defense
Mavericks is game. That is garbage. That is an afternoon game, by the way. I believe that is an ABC afternoon game. Yeah, that Luka versus Jokic. Luka's going to cook. Like that'll happen. No matter what Denver throws his way, that's going to happen. Kyrie should be pretty good in that game, too. That's probably going to be a high-scoring one. Like Denver's not going to really be able to stop them, and
who else is going to score?
Certainly not going to stop Denver.
Who else is going to score for them, though? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Tim Hardaway chucking threes?
And he's going to get rotation. They'll have to chuck threes. It wouldn't surprise me if they run the pick and roll and guys like Gafford and Lively, like they're catching lobs, they're finishing at the rim off the attention that Luka generates, which is what they've done.
Well, the Nuggets don't allow a lot of rim opportunities on alley-oops, though. That's the only problem. They do when they're lazy in the first quarter or something like that.
Yeah.
But typically dives out the rest of the game. This is what I'll say. I would love to see Jokic get like a 10-10-10 game and just Mavericks fans are freaking out about the MVP stuff because it's just like, oh my God, like, how could you give an NBA 10 points? It's like, well, they won by 20. I don't want to tell them.
Luka's got 35, 15, and 15. Joker's got 10, 10, and 10. How could he possibly be the MVP? How can he possibly happen? Like, what are you doing? What are you thinking? It would definitely be a narrative. That would be a national narrative for sure. Especially if the game was like really close.
No, because they'll double Jokic a lot. They've been doing that since like the 22-21 season, on every touch. But Jokic will still cook when he wants. But this thing, they have no one for Jamal and Michael and AG. Like that's what I mean. It's such a mismatch. Like they have so little amount of bodies for those players.
Their stopper in their starting lineup right now is Derek Jones Jr. Like Jamal is cooking him, just flambeing him in that game. That will absolutely happen. And now that I've said it, it probably won't.
Who do you think you are, Ryan Blackburn? All right, then the Timberwolves game, March 19th, big game. No Cat going to be there, but it's going to be a really big game.
Big games. Do you think Denver goes 0-3, 1-2, 2-1, or 3-0 in those three Minnesota games?
2-1.
I think
2-1. I mean, they could go 3-1, but I think 2-1 is more fair.
I think they win the next game, and then they lose the first home game, and then they win. Actually, no, no, they'll lose the one that's on the second night of the back to back. Last one of the season.
Well, I will say this: I think there's a real possibility that if they're like, if you know they're tied and are like a tied, and Malone's like, if we win this, then we can go 3-1 and win the season series, and then that puts us over. Then I absolutely could see Malone being like, all right, cool, well. Too bad you're not playing a Jazz game. Anybody, matter of fact, NBA, here's a permission slip. Nobody's playing.
That'd be pretty funny. That would be pretty funny for sure.
It's gonna be Braxton Key, Colin Gillespie, Julian Strong.
Say that again. Say that again. Colin Gillespie.
Yeah, he's gonna Gillespie? Be in that game. Sorry, yeah, he's gonna be in the game. Colin's gonna play that game, and all the rest of them. There's gonna be a bunch of reserves.
Yeah. They'll probably have plenty of those games towards the end of the season if they have some things wrapped up. If they don't have things wrapped up, then you're probably going to play guys. But
and they're going to accidentally Denver, win because Jay Huff's going to go for a 2020 game like everybody.
God, I want to see it. That would be so sick. Like he's going to pop 6 of 10 from three. That'll be great. Just 10 threes put up by Jay Huff in a game. That's what I'm living for.
What do you think the record is by the end of this week?
By the end of this week, they're 44-20 now. I think they'll go 3-1. I'm not sure which game they'll lose, but they'll lose 21.
That's a crazy record, bro.
Yeah, like that's great. That's
considering they missed Jamal for what, 16 games this year, basically. Well, they missed him for 15 full, right? And then he got out early at three others. So basically 18 games this year, they have not had Jamal Murray like through and through.
He is on the borderline of all NBA qualification right now. Like, cause he hasn't quite lost it yet. He's missed 16 games. If he misses 17, he's okay. If he misses 18, he's out, because the two games that he went out in, he missed, like, he only played like 10 and 14 games. You need to cross 15 minutes on the threshold for minutes in order for those to qualify.
You know, a contract he's eligible for this offseason? Because it was a 3-year, $144 last year. Is it a 5-year?
Yeah, that was a veteran kind of max extension that you could do within the season. This next year, he is eligible, I think, for a, like, I think they can do a 5-year max with him. It would be about a 5-year, 250 would be about the max that they could give him. If he makes all NBA, it's closer to 5 years, 300.
Well, it's over 3 if he makes all NBA, which is not happening, unfortunately, this year.
But it's probably not happening. And that's fine. It's probably better for Denver, like, for sure, financially. But even for Jamal, like, I mean, look, if Denver gives you a max contract, whatever they can give you, that's the maximum. That's probably what's going to happen. But there have just been enough guards that have earned it over him, I think.
250, though. That's a lot of money. I mean, that's a great amount of money. I know some people, about that. But I'm like, look, if they win this year, honestly, bro, like, who knows? You know, obviously, you're going to have to stay healthy. But they could win legitimately 3 championships for the next 6 years. So, like, that's perfectly fine. And Jamal doesn't have to be an all-star any of those years.
Let me get a crumb of that, man. Let me get a crumb of that. It'd be that would be very, very
pleasant. Oh, let me ask you this question before we wrap up.
Yeah.
Can I ask this to I think I asked this to you all in the media room. Mm-hmm. Do you think the Nuggets will ever have 2 all NBA players in the next 5 years?
So here's the thing. I think that Jamal is, like, I think he's gonna make all NBA at one point in his career. I'm not sure when it's going to be. It could be next year, it could be the year after. Whenever it's going to happen, it will happen at some point, but it'll be the same year that he actually starts the season well as an all-star. And, like, he's averaging 23 a game at the beginning of the season, as opposed to 18, 19, or 20. And that will be the year where he gets it. I'm not sure when it's going to happen, but I think it will be Jamal.
I think Jamal's going to have a LeBron or Melo turn in his career when they, like, really focused in on their body and, like, just, like, rocked up and slim down or whatever else. I think Jamal, like, once he takes that little leap in his career and mentally, like, yeah, dude. I mean, I because you know how I feel about Jamal. I think Jamal, when it matters most, is the only guards I would say outright are better are, let's go 2 years ago. Steph, not this version of Steph. Like, if you put him in the playoffs here, I don't think Steph Curry's consistently outplaying Jamal Murray. I think Jamal might outplay him outright.
I think he's Luka, done for Dame every year.
Luka, SGA, who else would be outright better than Jamal just because they're MVP level guards?
There's not really a ton of them. Like, you could go
Ja. I mean, maybe Ja when he's, like, really, really, really locked in. Because Ja is a freak of nature, man. But
there's also questions on his ability to space the floor. He makes some bad decisions.
Yeah, he's not a great shooter. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
but his, rim pressure is, like, one of a kind, though. It's like Giannis as a guard. But, you know, that's fair. I can take that. But, like, SGA, Luka. Maybe Booker, just because Booker is just going to give you from a night-to-night basis, like, just this 28-7-5 type deal, like, just running through the league.
Yeah, I mean, like, Booker every playoffs has been really good. Like, he's been really, really good until the closeout games. That is a thing. But he's been really good in most of these playoff environments. So it just wouldn't surprise me if...
Maybe, like, Ant going forward.
Yeah, Ant's one that, like... Last year was really impressive.
Well, not even last year. Ant's 21, bro. So, what's 25-year-old Ant?
Yeah, you know? the Michael Jordan memes are there for a reason. Like, he does some incredible things, and, like, he's the 2-way impact that he's going to have is going to.
It's going to be him, Shane, and Luka battling for that first team All NBA stuff probably 4 years from now. Like, and then there's going to be some random dude from someplace that we haven't seen before. It's not probably in the league yet. How long until Victor Wembanyama's first team All NBA? You have to wait for Giannis and Jokic to. Well, it's positionless, so I guess maybe Tatum. Maybe he can take over Tatum's spot.
I wouldn't surprise me if he did. So the funny thing is that outside of last year's travesty, Jokic has been first team All NBA every single season that he's been in his prime. Giannis has been first team All NBA.
He wasn't 1920.
But he wasn't in his prime yet.
Jokic was, well, he was first team All-NBA 18, 19, though.
Oh, yeah, because that was the year that they were like, yeah, Anthony Davis is going to be
a center this year. He played 23% of his minutes that year at center, and it gave
him first team All-NBA. I know, it's fucking travesty. Like,
I couldn't believe it.
What do you want me to say? Like, of course, you're right. Like, Anthony Davis, they're just trying to shoehorn him a Laker into the first team. Like,
that's him and LeBron.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That was so crazy, bro. I was legitimately like, you know, Jokic averaged 19.9. Could it drop towards the end of that run, like 9.7 and like yeah. 6 or 7 or something? Like, so I understand, but like, bro, Jokic is, I just couldn't believe that. And here's the thing. Yet last year, I think, like I'm telling you, bro, I just think that, and you know, Embiid fans were complaining about them changing the rule because they won Giannis first team All-NBA. Then we really knew it was about Embiid. Embiid was not making first team All-NBA. And that's what I'm saying. Yeah, and this is what I mean, Ryan. Sometimes when we talk about stuff, I'm telling you, the reason why I'm saying SGA's not winning it, they literally put the best player in the world in one of the most dominant regular season postseason runs in NBA history on second team All-NBA. When they go into the history book and they talk about this season, they're going, oh, whoa, Jokic must have been MVP that year. Nope. Jokic must have been first team All-NBA. Nope. It was Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
He was now, second team All-NBA. What I will say
is this run by Embiid will be remembered for like how much of a flash moment it was, in my opinion, where like he had this stretch of time where he was at the same level or close to it as Joker at these various points.
In the regular season.
And of course, yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. But like when it came down to it, Joker was the dude and he was the dude throughout the entire time. And people tried to talk themselves into it. It's like David Robinson versus Hakeem Olajuwon, basically. Like that's how I would sort of apply it. Now is that actually like there's other comparisons that we could make, but
David Robinson versus Shaq.
Yeah, sure. Like could go even higher. Let's go.
That's a long conversation. That was a good conversation for a good bit.
Yeah, that's
who's the, you think that's the closest approximation to the well, who's, yeah, I'm trying to think of who's the real closest approximation to Embiid, Jokic. For me, it feels like Clyde Drexler and Jordan. He was a 10-time All-Star.
Do you think anybody ever really was like, yeah, they're
he finished top four in MVP voting.
But he never won times. It. He never won it. I don't think like,
really. I don't.
He did win it. He did. Like that was a thing that people.
Bro, that was a jip though, bro. Jokic got 15 first place votes last year, bro. Like maybe that was insane.
Can we go Michael Jordan versus Charles Barkley? Like, or is that too much credit to Embiid?
I'm trying to think of positions though. And Charles is better than Embiid though. That's what I'm saying. Like I'm trying to think of positions.
Hmm.
Dominique, the thing is Dominique could have won an MVP, but Dominique was like, you know, there's just, it was Jordan. It was Jordan's league. So I think that's the issue. He just didn't.
Well, what about Kobe versus T-Mac?
The problem is T-Mac was not as good as Embiid though. But T-Mac had a year, that 02-03 year.
That's what I'm saying. You got a year where people can really like say that he was the best in the world.
Oh, you know what? Well, it's not terrible. T-Mac finished top, I think he finished third in MVP in 02-03. That was Duncan, Shaq, and T-Mac, if I remember correctly. I can't remember. It was Duncan and T-Mac in the top three, I believe. So technically, that would apply. But T-Mac also never went past the first round in his life. So, makes sense, kind of, unfortunately. And T-Mac also injuries got derailed by injuries. And I think some people still think T-Mac. Actually, I spoke to someone not too long ago, Big Ox from Player's Choice. He was telling me that he thinks T-Mac I think he even said like he was over Kobe or something. And I was a child, so I also thought T-Mac was better because I thought I liked his game more, but he was never better than Kobe.
But a lot of people swear by him. A lot of people like that. That's kind of the Embiid dynamic, I think.
And Ryan, can you please just give me a small rant here?
Okay.
There's been a thing floating around on Twitter, you know, which Jordan, LeBron, and Jordan, LeBron, and Kobe. Which of those players could win a championship without a top 75 all-time player? And obviously, Kobe already did that. LeBron already did that. Jordan didn't do it. So, whatever. But my issue is, Ryan, can you please just – because Jokic was – they announced it at the All-Star game. Jokic was on its way. He was the favorite to win MVP that year. Yeah. He was on the way to his second MVP, and he didn't make the all-75 team for Dame, Anthony Davis, and a bunch of other players. Can you – and James Harden, can you please – please, dude, am I tripping to think that was the dumbest thing at the time? And it's just even worse. It's going to go down as one of the worst things anybody's ever done.
So this was the debate that people had. Shaquille O'Neal back in the time that they made the all 50th anniversary list.
96
or so.
Yeah.
He made the cut, despite the fact that he had played like 3 years.
4 years.
92 4 years, somewhere around there. Yeah, exactly. So he made the cut. It was very clear that Shaq was going to be an all-time great. Very clear. And they made an exception for him because he, like, despite the fact that he didn't have the longevity, like, they knocked out guys like Alex English, who, like, that's a pretty glaring omission, I would say, in terms of how they really applied that. But they knocked out guys that had the longevity in order to
He still didn't make it, and Dame made it over Alex English, who led the 80s in scoring. Again, just nonsense. Yeah.
Nonsense shit. I think, in general, that was the time where I knew that the NBA was never going to fully accept Jokic until he won a championship. Because so many people at that time, 2021, they thought it was a fluke MVP. They, like, when you have guys like Nick Wright going on and saying it was the worst MVP since Dave Cowens, you have the worst player in NBA history to ever win MVP.
Rick Boucher, like, that always thought Embiid and Giannis were clear because of the defense and all that stuff.
Oh yeah, like that's been a narrative for a long time, and like, obviously you get better perimeter defenders, and Jokic's skill set starts to look really good, really enticing. They hold Miami to under 95 points in 4 of their wins.
And then even still to this day, Stephen A. Smith is saying he prefers Embiid. He's just the only reason he takes Jokic because of health.
You just never watched the playoffs. Yeah, never. Great. Fantastic. Didn't watch the Boston game. I get so frustrated with it, man. But like, this is why Nuggets fans feel the way that they do. It's the complex that you get where it's insanity, is because all these national folks will say the same thing over and over and over again. They will come up with more contrived arguments. They will do everything they can to knock off what Jokic has done, to dismiss what Jokic has done. And then when it actually happens, everybody flips. Everybody's like, oh my God, he's the greatest guy ever. When in the reality, like, you got to stay on that side. Like, it was very clear how most people felt. And Jokic gets credit for changing the tone, for changing the narrative, and never for working bringing through it up. That for sure.
Jokic is such a bigger man than a lot of people would have been. He never brings it up. And no, he may never bring it up. He heard every part of it.
I do want to ask him that one day.
I really want to ask him that one day. Like, Jokic, let's just be honest here. You know, let's say after the championship run that they win.
Yeah.
In post, like, you know, maybe the preseason, so he just gets back from Serbia. Jokic, just, you know, I know you don't love these questions, but I want to just ask you this directly. In 2021, you were left off the NBA top 75. You've now won 3 MVPs, 2 finals MVPs. You are considered a top 15 player of all time. And yet, just 3 years ago,
yeah,
you were not considered a top 75 player in NBA history. Does that at all, at this point in time, how do you feel about it, if anything at all? And he's going to say, well, you know, I know he's going to say, but I know in private, bro, there's no way. Yeah. You're telling me you that freaking good and you don't make the top 75 for Dame Lillard at the time, who had accomplished nothing in his career except for being a heady tween. Now, he's a great player. He's an all-NBA player, but literally hadn't accomplished a cent to what he hadn't even been to Western Conference Finals as elite. Well, he did 1 year, but wasn't good. At least Jokic did it and won an MVP and All-Star and won in the second.
He's really, really great at winning first-round playoff series at the buzzer. He's really great at that.
But I'm serious, though, Ryan. Like, that to me is such a travesty. So what you're telling me, Ryan, we're going to have to wait. It's March 2024 now. We're going to have to wait 22 more years for Jokic to get public acknowledgement from the NBA to be on the all 100 team.
The world's going to be a top 10 player. Yeah, it's not even gonna, like, the world is going to be on fire. Like, global warming is going to end us all. Like, that's definitely going to be.
That's why people don't like your tweets, Ryan, because of stuff like that. No, there are plenty of human beings in the world like myself and others who are doing the work, like people in this chat who are making sure using renewable energy,
yeah,
and that we're going to hydrogen and electricity to go away from fossil fuel usage because we're lowering the carbon emission. And there are going to be policies in place, by the way, in place that are at the national level right now that you can go and vote on right now that we will be able to take care of. Because again, at this point, I don't have no kids yet. I'm not going to let my kids just die out because we're just over here worried about some whatever, and we could keep burning oil and all that stuff. Y'all, if y'all want to have a political podcast with me, I can do it all day. Welcome to the King Center, y'all. We can tap in anytime you want. Anyway, look, listen. So this is what I'm saying. Is I do think that we're going to be in a situation where it's just going to be like, dude, this is going to be like the dumbest look the NBA has had. Like, you left off one of your all-time best at 30. He's not even 30 yet. Just because of, like, favoritism for larger markets. And Alex English isn't there. That's how you know. It's a Denver bias. Alex English isn't there.
Turn off your desk lamp, bro. Turn it off. The Nuggets, that's the one thing, though, about the 75 list is that neither Jokic nor English made it. Like, Jokic didn't make it for not being there long enough, not being proven enough. And English was too proven, but they just kind of forgot about him. So, like, that's why Nuggets fans feel the way that they do. It's just a travesty. It's one of those things. Like, you're never going to beat the allegations, NBA. You do not care. Like, you don't care. It's just that's how it's been. And the way that they covered the finals last year, that's how it felt too. So they would like to sweep the Nuggets under the rug. That is what they would prefer to do, and Joker's going to do everything he can. Jamal's going to do everything he can to make sure that doesn't happen. So
yeah, make sure Dame goes on there all time over Jamal, because Jamal doesn't have first team all NBAs on his record. He has three championships and one of the best playoff players of all time. But, 82 games, make sure. No MVP votes for Dame, for real. You know, same as Jamal. But apparently, you know, those first team all NBAs, baby. Well, Alex English got more than Dame Lillard and all stars, but, you know, whatever. That's just
we don't even have to talk about that. This is fine. Yeah, anything else before we get out of here?
Yeah, I think that everyone in here, serious note, because Ryan brought it up, I think everyone in here should commit their lives to building a beloved community right where they are by building a more humane, equitable, peaceful, and just world by investing in the communities around you, doing what you can to invest in greenhouses, eliminating policies in your community that have either racist implications to them, like, you know, there's, you know, redlining, the housing market, the raise in rent prices around you. These are all things that you can call your local representatives about to get addressed, because right now the middle class in America is being sucked out because the inflation rate is all-time high and the level of income for people that are not CEOs and business leaders is not meeting the expansion rate that it should be. Right now, the average low income, the amount of money you should be making on a per hour basis right now for the minimum wage in America should be about $23, but it's currently sitting at $7.50 right now. So we are about $16 behind. There's a national conversation around $15 an hour as the national minimum wage, which is still, again, like I said, $8 below what it should be. But that would be helping to improve the lives of literally millions of people across the world, including the people that do your trash, your maintenance workers, your janitors, the people that do a wonderful job of cleaning up Ball Arena, the people, including like Ryan, who are working behind the scenes to write and do all the great things, providing daily coverage for you who don't do it for a premium dollar unless you're at the national level. There are people that are constructing your roads and your streets, foreign workers who are from Mexico that don't have access to a lot of the tax rights and everything else they have, because it's really difficult. It takes about 7 years to get your citizenship, and your green card typically lasts about 1 year. So there are many things that you could be doing in your daily life to address these issues. And I hope that all of you continue to find ways to passionately invest in your community and do very, very, very important work. Could all of you have a place and you belong in the world? You have a unique set of skills and talents that make the world a better place. And literally every single one of you, we would not be where we are as a planet without you existing and being the fullness of all that you are. Because as Dr. King once said, I cannot be all that I will be and all that I should be unless you are all that you ought to be, because we are a part of the World House and the global community. So that would be my ending message to everybody on Weekends with Swipe Up.
Well said. Well said. You are an enigma, man. You're so well-rounded in a lot of different ways, and it's one of the great things. It's one of the great pleasures I have to be able to do a show with you. So always excited about this. This is my favorite time of the week, and this is something that I hope we never have to give up. So hopefully
Time of the week until that the wedding bells go off and you get married one day. Next thing you know, you're not going to hear from him anymore because you're going to have all these children running around, small chartburns everywhere.
Little chartburns. That'll happen. Their favorite subjects of every day will be math. That'll be happening. I'll be sure to push that down their throat. They'll be great. Man, it's always good. Always great to have this show. And everybody in the chat, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Long show today, but a great audience. You guys are so interactive. Make sure to hit the like button, hit the subscribe button down below. Always helps us out. And make sure to go follow the Swipe It channel. Follow Swiper Cam. It's been great. And the content that you put out is tremendous. So everybody, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Really appreciate all the love and support. I will be back on Tuesday, and then we'll do weekends or Swipe It next weekend. Should be great. See you, everybody.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.